Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your preview for Chelsea versus Leicester. The FA Cup action back at Stamford Bridge, which potentially prepare for another trip to Wembley. Another big game before the international break. And we are obviously off to the races this week as well, as Tom is wearing his Baker Boy hat because, yep, that's what we're doing. We've got a few bets on. Hiya, as Tom has put in the script. And obviously, we are continuing our championship love affair. Obviously, we've played Aston Villa, but we have another championship team in the cup. And we're all in a good mood because we beat Newcastle. And me and Tom basically made Mikhailo Mudryk the best player Chelsea's seen in the past 6 months. Everyone's here as well, all the usual suspects. Myself, Tom and Jordan, hopefully, is also still alive. Gentlemen, how are we?
Yeah, I'm good. I was waiting for Jordan to intervene, but he's frozen.
I am alive.
Oh, he is alive. There you go.
I'm alive. Still hungover from celebrating what was a magnificent win at home to Newcastle, I must say.
It's Wednesday recording. Are you hungover from a Monday game? Are you all right? Is there something going on?
I just used it as an excuse to drink all day on Tuesday.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. That makes sense. Tom just does that anyway on Cheltenham Race Weeks. He's an incredibly, he's just not very mature. You know, he just drinks too much.
Actually, didn't drink. Didn't drink yesterday.
You didn't drink?
No.
Is it Cheltenham this week?
Yeah.
Yes, mate.
Have you not got any bets on?
You got any locks for Jay?
Today's an avoid, I would say. It's not looking good, but obviously I'm still going to dabble. But
you have a little flutter, yeah, on the GGs.
Indeed, I will.
I'm just going to put my entire life savings on one horse, so hopefully that horse wins.
Fingers crossed. How much are those life savings, by the way?
About 50p, but you know that's what you get for living in London.
Yeah.
So not to speak.
Yeah. I mean, living in London. What can I say? Obviously, let's talk a little bit about Newcastle. Gentlemen, I tell you what, we did cut it a little bit fine at the end, didn't we? But, I mean, we won is kind of how I'm looking at that. I saw a lot of people were really annoyed still. But, I mean, great goal from Misha. I think, you know, well, actually, you know what? It was actually three great goals. Cole Palmer just absolutely twatting it. Nico Jackson, a nice little reverse flick. And obviously, you know, Misha Mudryk channeling his Eden Hazard against West Ham. So, lads, me and Jordan were both there, obviously. We had a lovely chat, so we'll add our thoughts in a moment. But Tom, talk to us. What did you think about the game?
It was a win, which is important. I thought we played pretty well, largely. Still decided not to make it nice and easy as it should have been and concede two, I'd say, soft goals, although they were both good finishes. I think they're pretty soft defensively. But as someone, I believe it was Mr. Benaventi here, said on the space, that is pretty literally every single one of those defenders are not first choice. So you have to give them a little bit of, give Poch, I guess, a little bit of slack there. It's not necessarily his fault that he's having to have a centre-back pairing of De Sassi and Chalobah, who, well, defending is generous to them at times at the moment. Going forward, very good. Apart from one man again, who once again decided not to do anything and then not pass on a 2-on-1. And, you know, if it wasn't enough the first time, I really hope it is the second time. And then also some people have dug out a clip again he did against Villa, which I've forgotten about. So it's the third time he's now done that this season. He must really hate Cole Palmer or something. I don't know what it is. But anyway, he then went off, Mudryk came on and was far better, and I hope he now starts for the rest of the season. He obviously listened to what I said in the last pod.
What about him? Basically, about playing him on the left wing back might be worse than sending him back to Ukraine. Is that what he heard, or do you think he heard us talking about how good he can be?
Either or. Works in both ways. What else happened? Jackson was good again, works really hard. Yes, it was his goal, but I'm still not convinced how much he knew about it. He sort of just put a leg in and got a touch on it. And once again, the best player on the pitch was Cole Palmer, but we don't have to talk about that too much because we said it so many times. But yeah, I maintain City had made a mistake there because I think Palmer is better than both Doku and Jack Grealish. at the moment, so I think he would have been in their first team. But there we go. Yeah, it's a win. We've moved from 11th to 11th, but at least we are now a little bit closer to something in Europe. And we have a good run of games coming up, so if we can get any sort of momentum, which has been a problem all season, then maybe we could make a little late run at Europe of some description, which we've spoken about to death this year. But got to believe. But anyway, we're on to the cup now. Let's go.
How do you think Cole Palmer stands with England? Because the guys I was talking about it, were chatting about it, and I don't know if, from a form standpoint, I don't know if anyone's playing better, including sort of Saka at the moment.
He's got to be in the squad. I think obviously the front three, I think, picks itself for the Euros currently in Foden, Kane, Saka. I think that will be what it, that's what it should be. I think that's what it will be, but to have a player like Palmer on the bench in the squad, say we win our first two games in the group and we can rest people and have a player of Palmer's quality playing. He also adds an option in the midfield, because who plays that third midfield role is not obvious right now.
Musiala. Oh no, Musiala plays for Germany now. I'm talking.
Yeah. Musiala's just playing. We're getting Ronaldo as well coming in. Messi's coming as well for a little game.
I mean, shut up, man. I made a mistake. I've been up for ages. I'm shattered. Leave me alone. It's the, what's, hang on, you got, Bellingham?
Bellingham, Rice are guaranteed. It's a question of,
that'll be Jordan Henderson.
Does Bellingham play in the 10 role where he's been playing at Madrid? Or does he drop back a bit and allow someone like Madison to play? I think that's far too attacking for Southgate, so I fear that you're probably right. It'll be Henderson or
Calvin Phillips,
who doesn't seem to be able to kick a ball anymore. But, you know, we can hope that there might be someone fun in there. I think Madison's a quality player. He looked very good the other day against Villa. We've got some very good players. We've got a good chance. But I do think Palmer should be in the squad. We've got Brazil and Belgium in the international break. I'm going to the Belgium game. So
is it?
That Palmer might feature. That'd be nice. But, yeah, we'll see. I think he's surely done enough. I mean, he's got, 11... Premier League goals and 8 assists already. I know a lot of those are penalties, but
he's got the most goals and assists
under 21.
Yeah, in Europe.
Yeah, I mean there's some big name players there he's outdoing. So yeah, what a player, what a signing. But yeah, Southgate was there. I don't know if you saw, he was there. They showed him on the screen. So I don't know who else he would have been looking at, but I imagine it would have been Palmer, Gallagher, maybe Gordon as well, but he obviously went off and apparently he's out for a long time.
6 to 7 months, isn't it? Let's say about Anthony Gordon.
I'm not sure who else they would have been. Yeah, I saw that yesterday, although then I saw another tweet saying it might not be as bad as that. So it's basically he's out for between 1 day and 7 months, somewhere in between. Don't know how long yet. But yeah, life's good if you're Cole Palmer. If you're a Chelsea defender at the moment, I'd like to say some things, but we'll get to that.
It will. I mean, with Carl Palmer, though, I do want to touch on this because I think it's important we do talk about it. Tim Sherwood's comments after after the match, when I think Carl Palmer actually, you know, really showed a lot of nous in dealing with media. When Tim Sherwood goes, I know you can't say it, but you just need players who you can play with, basically saying the quality of the squad is rubbish. Is it me, right? Or to the media now just love any excuse just to shit on Chelsea? Like, is it just any opportunity just to sit there and be like, yeah, do you know what, we're just gonna be horrible to Chelsea now? Because it feels like it's a very in trend at the moment. You know, obviously, you know, there's a whole loving with Liverpool with Jurgen Klopp leaving, but there's always been like an underlying tone with Chelsea in mainstream media. But what is it with this current love affair for Gary Neville, for Tim Sherwood, for Sky, for BT, or TNT now, as they call themselves, to just constantly berate Chelsea?
To be fair... Go on, Jordan.
I feel like it's been like that for a while, even in the Mourinho days. It was always one of our biggest sort of, I feel like, motivations for the team. It was us against the world. And I feel like it actually probably helped us in a way. But having said that, I don't particularly see what the reasoning for it is, apart from we were winning everything.
I think, to be fair, the media will just always shit on whichever big club is doing badly at the time. Arsenal had it for years. They got shat on. United had it and still kind of do to some extent. Liverpool when they were bad, they weren't getting the loving that they get now. I think it's just they jump on bandwagons, and at the moment the bandwagon is we love Jurgen Klopp and we hate Chelsea, and that's fine. I don't really care what the media think. I hope the players don't. Obviously, quite a young group of players, so it might affect them more than it perhaps should, but I wouldn't really care what people like Tim Sherwood have to say. He didn't exactly have a great managerial career, did he? So,
didn't have a particularly great playing career either.
Well,
apart from captaining the side, which won the league with Blackburn Rovers, but yeah, no, he didn't have a great career. But I mean, look, I think that the whole thing, yeah, it's just I don't get it. And Tim Sherwood's level of punditry is just absolutely shocking. I love the way, I don't know if you ever saw it a few months ago. Obviously, there's that podcast with Simon Jordan, right? And he spent 25 minutes basically talking about how he made Harry Kane's career. And I'm kind of sitting there listening to it going, mate, please stop talking. Like, you are an idiot.
Roberto Soldado made Harry Kane's career.
Absolutely being an absolute fraud.
My God, Roberto Soldado, that's a throwback. Blimey. Well, I'll tell you what, lad, speaking of throwbacks.
Goldado.
Goldado, yeah. Well, I tell you what, lads, speaking of throwbacks, and we love segues here on the Chelsea Echo, it's time for one of my favourite sections of the pod. Jordan, we decided to do it since you weren't here and you couldn't stop us, so, you know, that's on you. We do something called Forgotten Banger. So this is where you have to have a song, right, which you think everyone's forgotten about, but you think if you put it on in a club, in a pub, people would sing along, have a good time, and it'd be one which you haven't heard for years and would absolutely love. So I've got mine ready to go because I heard it yesterday and I was all over the gaff. I was having a great time. Tom, what is the forgotten banger this week?
Brazil by Declan McKenna. I heard it the other day and I loved it.
That is
if
a
you
tune.
Haven't heard it, listen to it. It's a banger.
That is a good tune.
I feel like when you say club slash pub, I'm very much leaning into the pub vibe, but that's just me.
That's fair.
So
that's fair.
Enjoy it.
Well,
drink it in.
I'll give it the club vibe then, because I heard this and I had an absolute whale of a time. Right, I'm going to drop in because Chelsea are going to be going on a European tour from Paris to Berlin by Infernal. Do you remember that one? Dude, please, it's that forgotten. Have I actually won Forgotten Banger?
What did you say?
From Paris to Berlin. From Paris to Berlin, and every disco I go in. You don't sound so impressed.
I've ever heard that song before. I might have to do some digging.
Oh, mate, absolute banger. But yeah.
It's not bad.
I'm happy with it. Jordan, who wins Forgotten Banger this week? Me or Tom?
I win with Bass Hunter, Now You're Gone. Quite frankly, otherwise I would have to give it with From Paris to Berlin, because that is a major throwback Radio 1 banger on the way to school in the morning.
Oh my God, Bass Hunter! I actually forgot about Bass Hunter. But what's better, Now You're Gone, or
it was their other one? They had two songs, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was Now You're Gone, and there was the other one.
All I Ever Wanted. All I Ever Wanted was taking
a smile. So good. Fucking unreal.
Oh, mate, Bass Hunter, unbelievable. Bass Hunter, they were on Eurovision, weren't they? Surely.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, this can be Tom's Google of the Week, which we'll talk about for the rest of the entire pod.
I thought they were too legit for Eurovision.
I don't think this will intrigue me as much as Ants, but I'll have a look.
Yeah, Jordan, it was bad last week. There was just at least several points of the pod where we were talking about Ants.
I've heard grumblings.
It was good.
I'll tell you what, Bass Hunter's a good looking fella.
I mean, he's Swedish, and he? Of course, most of them are.
Yeah, I know. But not all Swedish people are. Yeah, Zlatan's Swedish.
Actually, technically, he's Bosnian. Technically, because I think he immigrated from Bosnia.
Well, Ibrahimovic is not the most Swedish name I've ever heard.
Zlatan. Chose the stage name Bass Hunter in reference to his musical.
Oh no, he was born in Malmo.
The name as commercial impact. Yeah, so there you go.
Oh, well, he was born in Malmo, no, but his so this is
That's
it.
What I wanted to say.
This is it. He was born to. A Bosnian dad and a Croatian mother. So he's got the Balkan genetics. So that's fair. Mm. Fair enough.
What am I looking for here? Eurovision.
Yeah, did Bass Hunter compete in Eurovision?
Did Bass Hunter compete in Eurovision? Bass Hunter, Eurovision.
Oh, hang on. We've gone down another rabbit hole because I've just Googled Bass Hunter as well. Bass Hunter has Tourette's. What are you laughing at Bass Hunter having Tourette's, Tom?
Tourette's just always makes me laugh. Sorry to anyone who has it.
Oh dear. Whilst Tom does that, I've got another fan fact. Did you know that Sandstorm was the Finnish entry for Eurovision 1 year?
No. I'd love to see that performance.
I'd love to see that. I just can't wait, right? What's going to happen is we're going to have a show one day, right? We're going to take the Chelsea Echo on tour, and we're just going to have Bass Hunter or like Darude just chilling backstage just for like 30 seconds, wheel him out.
I wonder what football team
song,
Bass Hunter
wheel
him
back. I'd be intrigued.
He was born in Halmstad.
Halmstad?
Right.
But yeah, anyway. That's...
Here we go. Right, here we fucking go. Bass Hunter's remix. I'm going to say he didn't perform, and if Bass Hunter himself wants to correct me on that, then he can.
That's fine. There you go.
I'm going to say he won't, but you never know.
All right. Yeah, Bass Hunter, if you want to come on the pod, that'd be fantastic. But we'll move on now. I'm going to move on to the most important thing. It is the other section of the pod we absolutely love in part one, which is Tom's big question.
Yeah. This one took all of about 4 seconds to think of. As soon as I saw Leicester City, I thought of this. Well, I thought of one man, and then I thought of what that man represents to me. For those of you who are not familiar with this Tom's Big Question of the Week, it is a question relating to the club Chelsea are about to play against in a little twist, a Tom twist, if you like. Last week, we went on about Looney Tunes, which is when we fell into the ant rabbit hole. This week, I don't think there'll be as much of a rabbit hole, but it's Leicester City. I think of Gary Lineker immediately, and I think of two things with him. One is Match of the Day. I'm not going to ask about that. One is Walker's Crisps. I am going to ask about that.
Okay.
I want to know your favourite Walker's Crisps flavour, but also your favourite underrated flavour, because they have so many now. There are a few who go under the radar. So, yeah.
That's a very good question.
I can jump straight in with my underrated one.
Go on.
My underrated one. I used to love the salt and shakes growing up. Of the
Is
old
that
school.
Walker's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
The old school salt and shakes.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I used to love them.
Because it was, you know, it was basically because obviously you weren't drinking. Like, you know, when you're a kid, right, there'd be things. It's like you remember those sweets that look like cigarettes, but you pretend to smoke. But you'd eat those. Or like with me, the Walker's crisps, the salt and shakes, because you couldn't have cocktails, right? Obviously, because you know you're a kid, so you can't do the whole shake thing. You used to shake it like a cocktail. It's great. It's like, yeah, love that. But my favourite flavour, it really depends on my mood. If I was to go right here, right now, prawn cocktail.
It's so basic.
Favourite flavour is going to be basic though, surely. It's going to be one of like... Well, if you say ready salted, then you're a gimp. But say...
Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah, goated. I knew you were going to say something fucking weird.
Goated.
It's a good. That's an underrated one, but it's not my underrated one. My underrated one is roast chicken. I fucking love roast chicken.
I was literally about to say, if anyone says roast chicken, they have zero taste, and you've just said it. What?
Fucking love roast chicken crisps.
They're awful, man.
Tell you what is awful. Well, it's not awful, that's a bit harsh. But if anyone was saying... Also, salt and shake. Have you had a packet recently?
Nah, I'm not over years.
They're absolutely shit. I don't know what our flavour, like our taste buds were when we were younger. But they're like ready salted, but with less flavour, because there's only like a little sachet of salt to cover the whole bag of crisps. but yeah, if ready salted is your favourite packet crisps, then you're fucking boring, is what I'll
ready
say.
Salted was always good. Like if you had like...
Oh, no, I'm not saying they're not good, but if they're your favourite.
No, but the best way to have ready salted crisps, right, in a ham sandwich, but it's very particular with the ham sandwich, right? The ham sandwich has to be like Lurpak butter, like nice butter on white bread. Then you put the ready salted crisps in and then you smush the bread all the way down. So it's like a little, almost like a patty. Oh, my God, so good. I live for it. Jordan, don't look at me like that, Jordan. It's next level. Don't knock it till you try it.
My favourite flavour is cheese and onion. I'm a blue boy, and I always will be.
Chelsea.
Crisps as well. But anyway, yeah, if you have any weird Walker's, I don't even know what flavours they do anymore. There must be some rogue flavour they do.
I want to look up some discontinued Walker's crisp flavours.
Do you remember they had that campaign of like trying to get a new flavour in, and it was, you had to vote for your favourite.
Oh god, those were awful though. That was like,
it was like Builder's Breakfast, yeah, and yeah, Hoisin Duck, and then some fucking psychopath went for chili chocolate crisps.
Here's a little pub quiz question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
As the Echo's American, what is Walker's called?
Lay's.
Is it not Lay's everywhere? Yeah, because it's the same. In Europe.
Is it in Spain as well?
Yeah, in España. Yeah.
Why is
I that? Have my Lay's crisp with Fanta limon, mate. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like Lynx. Lynx is Axe. Yeah, Axe, for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why. And Auto Glass is Auto Car, I think, in France.
Yeah, because Auto Glass Repair, Auto Glass Replace, that is not a paid placement, so. Thought a glass would sponsor us.
I've got a few cracks in my windshield at the moment, so Autoglass, if you're listening.
Make sure you get Autoglass on those before they turn into... what was the thing? Smashes?
What?
Right, isn't it? Smashes. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to think about the Autoglass advert where they're like, a small crack could turn into...
Oh, big glass, yeah. Right, here you go. I've got some of the discontinued ones. Beef and onion's been discontinued. Barbecue rib, yeah. Baked beans, Brazilian salsa,
baked beans,
chicken balti, Brussels sprout.
I want some chicken balti crisps. Where, somewhere must sell them.
What, chicken balti crisps?
It just tastes like any kind of curry crisps.
I've never had curry.
Worcester sauce has been discontinued as well.
That's
shut the fuck up. No way. Has it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a disaster.
Campaigns are getting back.
That's unacceptable.
Let's get a petition going.
Sorry,
Rishi Sunak has got nothing more important to be doing than talking about Worcester sauce crisps in Parliament.
I mean, to be fair, it's probably the only way he can swing it. I reckon there won't be a Labour government in the next election if Rishi Sunak brings back Worcester sauce crisps.
But they're not that popular.
Are they that popular? Listen. Me and Jordan are paying members of the Labour Party, and we're saying he'd probably win if he did that.
That's
so
right. I pay my membership. I've got my card.
Yeah, I do as well.
Big man, Jezza.
I don't give a shit about politics. Avoid. They're all gimps. That's my new favourite word.
Gimp. Have you been saying gimps a lot over the past few days?
I said it quite a lot over the past like 2 years, but I've never made it into podcast form until I realised today's the day. It makes it.
So Tom's question is going to be, you've got to answer Tom's big question or you're all gimps. So yeah, that sounds about right. But anyway, that's that done. We've done the big question. We've done the Forgotten Banger. We've done the Newcastle chatter. We've obviously massively overrun again, which means Jordan is going to have a great time editing this. But we're going to move swiftly on into Act 2 and into the most important bit, the only part of the show which still has a theme and a jingle, which Jordan is going to be changing very soon. But ladies and gentlemen, it is Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yeah, it is. Stat Shaggers. And I'll run through it as quick as I can, as we've overrun on the other things. But yeah, here we go. Leicester City. History of the fixture. This has been going on. Well, another fixture that's gone on for years. 1905, the first game between these two teams. Since then, played 124 of them. Chelsea have actually won almost half, 61. Drawing 31, Leicester only winning 28. And the last 10 have also been largely dominated by Chelsea, who have won 5, drawn 3, Leicester winning just the 2. And in the last 5 games, that also is a good run for Chelsea. 4 wins and a draw. Chelsea running out 3-1 winners in a rare victory last season under Graham Potter, with goals from Ben Chilwell, Kai Havertz and Mateo Kovacic in March. That was the last time the two sides played. The last defeat to the Foxes, sadly, is one we'll probably never forget. That was a 1-0 loss in the FA Cup final following Yuri Tielemans' strike, which beat old Papa Domrist's Kepa in goal. And then Chilwell was denied an equaliser as his toenail was slightly too long and he was offside. Incredibly, that is actually the only time Leicester have ever beaten Chelsea in the FA Cup. suggesting that the Wembley curse really has become a thing for us. So yeah, the two sides have met a total of 10 times in the Cup. Chelsea have won 7 of those and drawn 2, which obviously we then won on the replay. And that dates all the way back to 1920. So when we played them in the FA Cup, it'd been 100 years. And we'd never lost them, and then we did in that final. A positive, though, of course, is that in 2012, when we did win the FA Cup, Chelsea beat Leicester 5-2 in the quarter-final. So at the same stage as now, goals that day from Gary Cahill, Solomon Kalou, Raul Morales, and a rare Chelsea brace for Fernando.
Nando!
The manager record, Poch against Leicester. There he is, Chelsea's number 9. Is not Pochettino. Mauricio Pochettino's record against Leicester, it's not bad, to be fair. He's won 7. He's drawn 3 of his 14 games against the Foxes. And all 14 of those games came while at Spurs, which has actually been a game filled with goals. 52 goals in total in those 14 games. 31 for him, Spurs, and 21 for Leicester, which averages out at 3.7 goals
a game.
There was a 4-3. A 4-3, a 6-1 and a 5-4 between Poch and Leicester, with the Argentine coming out on top in all 3 of those. In the FA Cup, though, sadly, well, maybe not sadly, depends what kind of football you want to watch, it's a bit more boring, and his record is also a bit less impressive. He did win a replay after a 2-2 draw in the third round of 2016, but the year before he lost 2-1 in the fourth round, so he's basically 1-1 against Leicester in the FA Cup. On to Leicester themselves. At one point, it was beyond any real doubt that Leicester would become a Premier League side again this season. But a big wobble in recent weeks has drawn them right back into a genuine fight. They remain top of the Championship table, but now only 3 points clear of Leeds, 4 clear of Ipswich, who are in third, and Southampton are also waiting in the wings with a game in hand. So it's suddenly become very tight between those 4 teams. In all competitions, they have won 6 of their last 10, but in their last 5 league games, they've only won once, with losses to Middlesbrough, Leeds and QPR, as well as a draw against Hull last time out, with only a rare win, recently anyway, against Sunderland 1-0, Jamie Vardy scoring that goal. How did they get to this point? A 3-2 win over Millwall, a 3-0 win over Birmingham, and a 1-0 win after extra time against Bournemouth, which saw them face Chelsea at Stamford Bridge for a shot at Wembley. Back to you in the studio.
Thank you very much, Tomas. We're into it. Act 3 analysis and the big part of this show. It's time for the Echo 11. Gentlemen, where do we go from here? I think it's
full strength.
I think it's very, there you go, yeah, very simple. And that full strength does also include Mikhailo Mudryk. Absolutely needs to include Mikhailo Mudryk.
But yeah, I mean, it's an international break following this game for both teams. So initially I thought that Leicester might not go full strength because they've got their Championship stuff to worry about, and obviously their priority will be to get into the Premier League again, but they don't have a game for 12 days after this, and we also don't have a game for however long it is, 2 weeks. So I imagine both teams will be at full strength, and for us, what does that mean?
I mean, it just means that Raheem Sterling doesn't play, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on defenders and who's fit. I think I'd probably play Thiago Silva.
Really? You play Thiago Silva, yeah?
Fed up. Well, I just... Chalobah's just... He's just crap, isn't he? I'm sorry to say, Trev, but he just is. And I don't really like De Sassi either, and the pair of them together, it's just... I don't know. They seem to be getting away. I know we haven't actually technically... Well, we haven't lost since Thiago Silva kind of fell out of the team, which maybe is not a coincidence, but I'm not sure about Chalobah at all. Kukurev he wasn't great, but he's fine. First game back, he plays. Gusto obviously plays. De Sassi plays because he's in a rhythm, albeit not a very good one, but he's playing. Maybe I'm being harsh. I don't know.
I think full strength. I don't know if Carl Will's going to be back. I think
that's the thing. If it's Carl Will's back, then he obviously plays. But if he's not, then it's.
Who would you rather have? Based on injury news, right? So, obviously, as we record this, we don't know the full scale of the injury news. But I'm just going to assume that Carl Will is not available, given the fact that we weren't supposed to have an injury for a week. We tend to get it for 7 months. So, I'm just going to assume that he's not going to play, which means it is going to be the back four we saw against Newcastle, the same midfield for me as well, the same front three, but minus Raheem Sterling and give Mikhailo Mudryk his opportunity to shine. I think they'll probably be playing Pereira at right back, and apparently he loves to invert, which means that we're going to be seeing Misha be given either a lot of space or he'll be marked out of the game by Ricardo Pereira but still have the afterburners because of Pereira's dodgy knees. So we'll have to see.
I feel like the front three, assuming that we're picking Mudryk, Jackson, Palmer here as our front three, I think they should all kind of be given free license to roam around and just sort of do what they want, because Mudryk's been best playing through the middle recently. That's where he's been most effective. And Jackson's pretty good on the left. So I'm not saying start Jackson on the left because he needs to get in the box, because he's actually quite impressive in the air and things. But I'm saying they don't have to sort of rigidly stick to Mudryk on the left, Palmer on the right. Let them roam. Let them see what they can cook up, because I think those three are pretty, they're in good form. And Mudryk, the big thing about him is his confidence. And he clearly looked confident against Newcastle. Maybe that's because it's an opposition he scored against in the League Cup. I don't know. But for me, you play those three and you let them cook and let them hover and kind of drift around and do what they want, obviously within reason. Midfield, yeah, fine. I don't really see... Yeah, there's not really many changes. It's just Mudryk. That's the only change. Mudryk in, and maybe a change at centre-back. But that's about it. Other than that,
I think realistically, though, we are going to see Sterling play.
I don't think he can. I genuinely don't think he can. Again, like, I wasn't there, so did Sterling get booed off when he went off again?
Not where I was sat. I was in the posh seats, wasn't I? So there was a lot of clapping. He didn't get booed off. He just sort of just people just kind of let him go off because they're just so desensitised to him being shy.
But it's just frustrating now seeing him. And also, like, I'm 95% sure he's not going to be here next season. So why not just bin him off and play the young player who actually might have a chance of making a career at Chelsea and let him get a run of games? Because he's never had a run of games. And every time he scores, he ends up on the bench the next game. So play him against Leicester.
Yeah.
See what he can do. And
Misha, I've noticed, is he just seems to be so much better when he doesn't have to think. When he just runs, he's so much better. But when he has to think, he starts panicking. So I want to see him be given an opportunity in a run of games. But the big thing for him is he needs some proper coaching. Because there is a player in there. There's a reason why world football is so excited about him. And yes, we massively overpaid. Yes, we haven't seen enough from Mikhailo Mudryk. But I do think that the way that he plays his football, and you said it a few weeks ago, Tom, you were talking about he was high on confidence, you need to give him the opportunity. And maybe it is just a case of Pochettino's bedding him in slowly, getting him ready. But at the same time, he just needs that coaching to be like, right, just go out and enjoy it. I think for me, the big thing for Mikhailo Mudryk, if he enjoys his football, you see what he's capable of. I mean, if you look at the video of when he saw his goal on Chelsea TV afterwards, he watched it back, you could see how proud of himself he was, you know, to show that he was doing what he was capable of. And I think he's a fantastic player. I understand why a lot of people think he's just a bit of a dummy and he's not anything special. I get that. There is a touch of the Roadrunners about him at the minute, but I do think that as a player, we're going to see somebody who's incredibly capable of doing so much more. So we'll have to see. But I think, look, that is the Echo 11. Let us know your thoughts down in the comments if you're watching on the sideline. Because guess what? If you're watching this, you've got the full video available to you on the sideline. So make sure you head across to chelseasideline.club if you want to watch these full podcasts. But we will move swiftly on because this is a real opportunity for Chelsea to get to Wembley and right some wrongs again. Gentlemen, if we get to Wembley, do you back us not to mess it up?
No. No, I don't. I also, like, yeah, this is a great opportunity to get to a semi-final, and then your confidence is better than mine. There's still some very good teams in this competition. Liverpool are still there. City are still there. I mean, unless they played each other in the semi, and then we didn't get Liverpool in the final. I'd rather play City than Liverpool, which sounds ridiculous, but I just if we get Liverpool again, it's just going to be the same thing again. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. First, we've got to beat Leicester and then see what we're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've been in good form recently, Leicester.
No, they haven't.
No, not been in good form, sorry. Yeah, I mean, Leicester haven't been in good form recently, but this is the Cup. It's a whole different ball game. And to be honest, Leicester as a side, they're not meant to be in the Championship. And I'm not saying that because, you know, there's people, when Leeds were in the Championship, people going, we're a massive club, we shouldn't be here in terms of being Leeds fans. It's a case of, no, you are there because you are rubbish. That Leicester team just had an awful run at the back end of last season and got sucked in. The squad is not meant for the Championship. That is a Premier League team. So, realistically, we've got to see what happens with that. And it's a whole different ball game. As Tom said, both sides obviously have a 2-week gap for international break. So no reason to not go full strength. But we'll have to see what happens. It'd be nice to see one thing, though, which just to talk about this finally, right? We didn't see it because we were at the ground, Tom. But Pochettino, according to you and your tweet, because you were very excited, showed some semblance of emotion. What happened there?
Well, it wasn't quite Conte-esque jumping into the stands or Mourinho gilet pumping. But it was. He got up and he jumped and he celebrated. A little fist bump into the air, which is more than I've seen from him since he joined. I don't know what it was about this particular game. Maybe it was because it was Mudryk. And it was, you know, maybe you're right. He's been coaching. He wants the best out of him, but he's just not quite ready. He's trying to get him ready so he can then just explode. Maybe now's the time. And he's like, right, here we go. I don't know. Maybe that was his moment. I don't see why it would just be to go 3-1 up against Newcastle. That's the game that brings out the emotion in him. But whatever it is, I want more of it. That's the way you could potentially... I think it's beyond repair, but if there's any way of repairing it, you're going to need a good run of games and show some passion and stop saying stupid things in press conferences. And then maybe there's a small chance. But I was happy with it. A bit of passion, finally, in mid-March. You know, Conte showed it straight away, or September, whatever. We saw Conte jumping into crowds and fell in love with him. Mourinho, again, I mean, minute one, Mourinho was being Mourinho. Even people like Sarri, we had emotion from. It was weird emotion, and it was largely just frustration at Kepa, but that was still, you know, showing he cared. Whereas Poch, often, you see him, we're losing or we're drawing, which game should be winning, and he's just sort of slumped in his chair. And you're just like, how is this going to inspire the players? But anyway, more of that, and we'll see. But yeah, passion. That's what I want to see more of.
Well, that's what we want. That is what the Chelsea Echo is all about. We are passion merchants, and we will not hide that. So listen, passion on the touchline. Chelsea getting a result. That would be lovely. Leicester in the cup. I'll be at the ground, obviously, giving you my thoughts post-game on final score with the score. Tom is potentially going to be on the show again. Did a fantastic job with the score and rambles. And Jordan is probably going to be producing it, potentially. Or he'll be working. We haven't figured that bit out yet. But, you know, that is the magic of the Echo. We think on our feet. We're excellent at doing that. But this has been the Chelsea Echo. This has been your preview for Chelsea versus Leicester in the FA Cup. It's been a sideline production, like I said earlier on in the show. If you want to watch the full show, make sure you head across to chelseasideline.club and sign up over there. Some fantastic creators over there and much more to come from the Chelsea sideline crew. Make sure you follow us on the socials and engage with the Chelsea Echo. Tell your nan, tell your dog, tell your hamster who has a rave, because I saw that on TikTok. A hamster rave. Tell them and tell everybody else. Tom is going to head to Cheltenham now and probably win us enough to send us on holiday. Jordan is going to go play some golf. And I am going to go and cry myself to sleep because it's been a busy old day. Take care of yourselves, guys. And we'll see you later. Ta-da.